the thought, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been trying our very best to make you understand what the revelation of Jesus Christ is. And to express it in words, it's an impossibility, because that's what it is a revelation. And a revelation cannot be expressed in words. If a revelation could be expressed in words, then it would not be a revelation. It would be a knowledge. But in that it is a revelation, it must be received by revelation. But God is so ordained that as the minister preaches the word, that as you hear the words of the Lord, that at that very precise moment, if your heart is right, your faith is right, then all of a sudden something will open up to you, and you will receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. To be able to do this, Paul tells us that we need the spirit of revelation, that we must have the spirit of revelation. How can you receive a revelation if you do not have the spirit of revelation? See, and that's what God's word is. God's word is spirit. And it is a spiritual word that is revelated as you receive the understanding of God. The reason that God chose Paul the apostle in giving him the revelation was because Paul had carefully applied himself to the knowledge of God concerning the Old Testament, which is the revelation within the veil. So then God, having endowed Paul with the knowledge that he needed, Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ. He kept himself unspotted by the world. He tried his best to be holy and clean and virtuous and pure, that God might use him accordingly. And they say, Brother Pike, just what do you mean by the revelation? Well, look at the expression that Paul the apostle uses. Paul said it pleased God that he should choose me, that Christ should be revealed in my life. Now that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ being revealed in your life. What else could be the revelation? Christ within you, the hope of glory, and Christ being revealed in your life. See, the revealing of the Christ, the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, it is one of the greatest things that's ever happened to mankind, because it is the power of translation, and it is that which will translate you and take you out of this world, if you can believe. If you can believe. In the book of Revelation, I have numbers of times referred to the 10th and 12th chapter, because it is in these chapters that we find a great outstanding thing. In the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, the first verse, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his right hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, I spoke to you the other night concerning the time is at hand. Here we read from the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, and we find the very same thing, except he doesn't say the time is at hand, but he says when this mighty angel of Revelation 10 begins to sound, begins to speak, John proclaims here that a voice said that time should be no longer. Time should be no longer. And when I say that before an audience, many of you don't understand what I'm saying. And I realize that you don't understand what I'm saying. But there are some of you that are listening. Some of you that are looking on tonight. You do understand what I'm saying. Because we have carefully gone through the teachings of Christ in such a way as explaining how the time came to be. Explaining what time is and what is meant by the scriptural terminology time. How the time was instigated. And we've taught you where time terminates. We've explained carefully what is meant by time being no longer, or that the time is at hand. Now, when you say the time is at hand, you could say, what time are you speaking of? The time of the coming of the Lord, the time of the resurrection of the dead, the time of the consummation of all things, the time of the revealing or the revelation of Jesus Christ. But when you say time is to be no longer, the Bible says that this angel set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And then he lifted his hand up to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. There would be no more time. And I've used the expression like this a lot of times. You can take your calendars. You can take your almanacs, you can take your time markers, throw them all into the ocean. Do away with all of them. Because at that very moment, that great span of endless eternity that was before the world ever began or begun, that same thing comes in again. That same great world is recognized again. Before time ever began in the garden, before there ever was anything called time, that great eternity was there. After this little time element that's involved, this little 4,000 or 6,000 years, this little span of time, after this little time element that's involved in the transition of human life, after it is gone, it will be nothing but the great eternities. You understand what I'm saying? There will be nothing but the great eternities because time has passed away. There was no time in the beginning. Man doesn't have time. He's not a creature of time in the creation of God. But he is a creation or creature of time through the fall, as he falls into the darkness. Because from the day that he rejects God, from the day of his unbelief, from that time on, he is a time creature. Because he must die, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And in that he has rejected God's way of life, rejected God's eternal ordination, then he just has an allotted period of time until death strikes. And he is no more. Thus he has become a time creature. But see, we who are born of God, we are sons and daughters of the living God. We are not time creatures. We are not men and women, but we are sons and daughters of the living God. We do not have to die as a man. I said the other night, it is appointed unto man once to die. But there is nowhere in the Holy Scriptures that you find where it is appointed under a son of God to die. There is no such appointment. But unto men it is appointed that they should die. Then am I a man or am I a son of God? Somebody would say, well, you're both. How can that be? How can you then be a man and be a son of God? There's no way. See, if you are a man, then you are alive in the flesh. Isn't that right? But the Bible said we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If I am in the Spirit, then I cannot be a man. I am a son of God. I was born into this world a man, but by the body of Jesus Christ, I died to sin. And instead of being a man, I am now a son of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you are now a man and someday you will become a son of God. But that's not Bible. See, John said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be like as far as your sight is concerned. But by faith I have the substance. By faith I'm already a son of God. By translation of my spirit into the marvelous kingdom of God, I am already a son of God. Therefore, why should I die as a man? Why should I preach death? Why should I stand up and tell the people to look forward to dying? I believe that we ought to look forward to living. I'm looking forward to living. I pass from death unto life. All of that's behind me. And I am free from that. Because I am a son of God, I can live forever. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm enjoying the presence of God every day. I'm enjoying my salvation right now. I'm not making any preparations for death. I'm not making any preparations for defeat. I'm not making any preparations for poverty and for hurt. The Bible said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm not letting my heart be troubled. I'm not letting my heart be afraid. The Bible said, my heart is fixed in God, and evil tidings shall not trouble me. So then, I am looking to God in faith, the God that promised me all things that pertain unto life. I am looking to God in faith, God who promised me that He would meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory. I am not looking forward to poverty, for the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I am not looking forward to sorrow. Because He promised to make me rich and add no sorrow. So then I am believing what He said. I'm resting securely in the promises of God. They sang the song, I'm standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I am standing on the promises of God. Are you standing on the promises? I'm standing on the promises. I believe that what God promised me, God will do. I am not a time creature. I pass from the world of time. When I was born into this world, I was born into this world a man. I was born into this world a failure. I was born into this world to be few days and full of trouble. But when I pass from death unto life, I left the trouble behind. I left the poverty behind. I left the sickness behind. I left all of the defeat behind. And I lifted my heart and my faith to God. And I said, Heavenly Father, from here on out, I'll not think as a man. From here on out, that man is dead. I'll not go back and look into the things of yesterday. For you said, forgetting those things that are behind. But I said, Lord, what I will do, I will lift my heart and my faith toward heaven. And I will praise God and rejoice forevermore. In that I am resurrected from the dead through Christ Jesus my Lord. And I told the Lord, I said, now, Heavenly Father, There's many things that I need through life. My wife, my children, my friends, my neighbors, those to whom I minister the word, they have great needs. But you promise to supply all of them. And I'm looking to you to do it. It doesn't matter how much Satan tries to discourage me. It doesn't matter how many problems I have. We intend to stand by faith in God. It's like I was telling a brother the other day. I said, when you set out to do something for God, don't relinquish. Don't stop. Keep moving. If the devil knows that he can stop you, he will stop you. If he looks into your heart and into your life and he sees any place that you'll stop, he's going to stop you. But if he looks into your life and he says, this person isn't going to stop, there's no stopping this person, then he begins to give up. It's like David, when David heard the challenge of Goliath, standing out on the hillside saying, send me somebody to fight. Now, I never heard David's words, and neither did you. But knowing God and knowing the heart of a courageous warrior, knowing of a man that had faced the bear, a man that had faced a lion, I could just see David's heart just jumping up and down, saying, Goliath, I'm coming, I'm coming. Just wait, I'm coming. I'm coming. Lord of God, that ought to be our testimony. Instead of standing back, when the devil threatens you with cancer or threatens you with some dreadful disease or threatens you with poverty or threatens you about your loved ones, you raise up in God and say, Goliath, I'm coming! I'm coming in the name of the Lord! And when I come, I'm going to defeat you for the glory of God. If we don't have this testimony and this kind of outlook, then we are defeated to begin with. If we have the kind of outlook that I'm going to try to do my best, and I hope I'll make it through, and I'm just trusting that everything will be all right, you're defeated to begin with. You've got to have the testimony of the faith and the confidence that all of the promises of God are yea and amen. Amen. That what God has promised, He also shall perform, and that He's able to do it. I like the way that Abraham looked at it. The Bible teaches that the prophets of old endured as seeing them who are invisible or him who is invisible. And the Bible teaches us that Abraham grew strong in the faith. He waxed strong in the faith. He lifted his heart up to God, though it took many years for the fulfillment of the promise of God to Sarah and to Abraham. Yet the Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, declaring to the people that God had promised and that God was well able to do what He promised and that God would do it. The Bible said God is faithful and will do it. And so then Abraham knew that God meant what he said. And it pleased God so well that God called Abraham the friend of God. That's the way it ought to be. We should move out into the faith of God, move out of this world, separate ourselves from everything that pertains to the world and the time elements of life, and say, Heavenly Father, having escaped the pollution of this world, having escaped the corruption of this world, having escaped all of the evils of this life, dear God, I'm at last free. I am free from sin. I am free from death. And God, I'm rejoicing forevermore in the great power and deliverance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we take this attitude and we stand up in life and we don't relinquish, then Satan has to go. It's like I said to a brother the other night when we was talking. I said, brother, listen, we may have to stay here all night long. I said, but if we do, that's what we will do. I said, if it's necessary for me to stay here all night long, though I'm weary in my body, yet if it's needful for me to be here all night long, then before the devil will defeat me, I won't give sleep to my eyes until I've defeated him. And it took 12 o'clock, and then it took 1 o'clock, and then it took 2 o'clock, and then it took 3 o'clock, and then it took 4 o'clock, and then the devil got on the run. You know, he looks back and he says, these people are out of their minds. They'll stay up all night long. They don't have any reasoning about them. They're not going to stop them. Might as well to leave. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way it ought to be. Take a perseverance for God. Stand up for God and say, I'm going to do it. It doesn't make any difference if it requires the spilling of my blood as it did the martyrs in the early age. My mind is made up and I'm going to do it for God. You know, scientists say that when a man's mind's made up, you can't change it. And that's what we need, Christian friend, is a made up mind. You know, I'm so weary. I'm so weary, Jim. I'm so weary of seeing the church world half-hearted toward the things of God. I'm so weary of seeing people who occupy positions in Christ and don't put the money to the exchanges. I'm so weary of seeing people play church with no perseverance, no determination, no get up and go for God. God's people are supposed to be the strongest, healthiest, most courageous people in the world. The Bible teaches that as they journeyed through the wilderness, not one of them was sick. Why is it that the church is so sickly today? You know why it is, folks? It's because they want to play around with the world and play around with the devil, and they don't want to stay off of the devil's territory. That's where the problem is. The Bible teaches that if you walk up right before God, that he'll move sickness from your midst. Did you know that? The Bible said it'll be well with you and your children all the days of your life. What we need to do is to get off of the devil's territory, get away from him. Walk with Christ as they did in the wilderness, and God will take care of us, and every step that we take will be ordered of God, and everything that we do will be a victory in Christ. The Bible said their feet did not swell. They didn't have to go get a new pair of shoes. They didn't have to worry about raiment, and they had food aplenty. That's what we need to do. When we take the attitude, we stand up, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what the doctor says, it doesn't matter what anybody says about it. Say, Lord, the Bible tells me that I am a victorian in Christ. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith in your finished works at Calvary. You take that attitude and you stand up. Don't be wavery. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be cast down. Have a perseverance for God. Stand up for God. Now, I say this. If you are not going to serve God, you'd better pay attention to what the doctors tell you, because they pretty well know what they're saying. If you're not going to trust God by faith, then the quicker that you can get to a hospital, the better off you are. If you're not going to trust Christ for your healing and for your sense of direction through life, you'd better get some great orator or some great power of ingenuity to lay your life out that you might have the best in life. You'd better go to seminary. You'd better go to college. You'd better do everything you can to get well read up and educated toward the system of life, because you're going to need it. But I'm telling you something, that if you can trust God, if you can believe in the Word of God, if you can believe in the words of Christ, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And if you can believe in the words of God, you can be healed from any kind of disease. It doesn't make any difference what the sickness is. You can be victorious over it and stand as a great victorian in Christ. By faith in God, you can do it. It doesn't matter how severe it is, how far along it is. If you have poverty and you've got problems, if you're willing to trust God and really be a genuine Christian, not hypocritical, not a proselyte, but a real child of the living God, all you've got to do is stand up by faith and call those things that are not as though they are, and God will bring it to pass. Decree a thing in your heart and God will bring it to pass. It doesn't matter what it is. All you've got to do is call those things that are not as though they are, and you can have it. If you've got a sick body, say, God, By your stripes at Calvary, I've been healed. Not going to be healed, but I've already been healed. The stripes upon your back, the Holy Scripture tells me that by those stripes I was healed. And the Bible tells me that you was made a curse for every one of us. Cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. And the curse that was upon Adam and Eve that brought sickness and sorrow, you say, Lord, it is no more. I am free from the curse, because cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And Christ Jesus hung upon the tree for me, that I might be free from the curse and have the abundance of life that God promised to me. You know, Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. See, we've got life. We've already got life. But Jesus said, I want you to have life that's just bubbling. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the devil would have you think that God has got you pressed down like cookies in a cookie jar. You know, and every little hand that reaches after him, slap it down. Isn't that right? But that isn't God's way. God just got plenty of cookies, the tops off the cookie jar, and said, let whosoever will come. Isn't that right? Like the children. Mom used to cook a big bag of cookies. I remember so well as a kid, she'd hang them out on the back porch. I didn't have to go try to get the door open and watch for Mom, you know, and try to squeeze in to get a cookie. She had already considered me and my little playmates, and she'd make a great big bag of cookies, and she'd hang them out on the back porch. And all I had to do was head for the cookie sack. That's right. I'd run and leap and jump and holler. And I'd say, come on, fellas, and we'd head for the cookie sack. That's the way God wants it. Jesus died at Calvary that you might have the abundance of living. Glory to God, the cookie sack's already hanging out. All you got to do is go get it. Let your life run over for God. Stand up and witness. Don't be afraid to testify. You shouldn't be afraid to testify, Christian friend. Are you afraid to stand up and tell some man that God is going to bless you? Abraham told him God was going to bless him, didn't he? Abraham said, God's going to bless me. And even when Lot, one of his own relatives, wanted to take a shortcut, God said, Abraham, let him do whatever he wants to. That's all. You just keep your faith in me. And Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, thought he had a good thing, but what happened? Old brother Abraham said, you take whatever you want to. I'll take what's left. I'll follow God. I'll stay out here in the plains. You go down there to that city. But what happened? It's just like today. Everyone that's turning to the big cities, going in for the money, going after the things of the world, they're having nervous breakdowns. Their bellies are rotting out with cancer. They're winding up in mental institutions. Poverty and debt. And they can't find their way out of it. Some in prison because they can't pay bills that they didn't even make. But they fell into the snare. Isn't that right? But glory to God, like Abraham of old, I witness today that Christ meant what he said. I have abundance of joy, abundance of life, I have abundance of living, because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. So then tonight, I stand as a witness of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He hath kept his word to me. He hath not lied to me. I am happy in Jesus. I am healthy in Jesus. I do not have fear. I do not have frustration. My heart is not troubled and my mind is not vexed. But I am free. He that the Son makes free, he's free indeed. I am free, my beloved friend. I am free to testify to you of the glory of God. I stand here tonight as God's free man. I stand here tonight as having my needs supplied, all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I stand here because I'm happy. I can witness of Jesus. I have witnessed of the Lord in many islands, different places throughout the world, through the United States. I've witnessed for God. I've stood in the victories of Christ. I've stood by faith in God, and I've had the victory. I'll never forget in Grand Cayman Island, over in the morning when I was praying and everybody apparently was asleep. I remember how God stood with me when I heard a scream of a person. And I went outside into the darkness. And I went out to look to see what it was all about. And I heard the scream of a woman. And I remember how that I challenged the big black man because of what he'd done over in the night. And told him to leave her alone. I said, God will get you. And he looked like he wanted to pounce on me like a wild lion. But he stood there as I faced him by faith in God. He stood there. He couldn't do anything. And after a while, he just kind of went limp like that. And left her alone. Faith in God. Faith in God. And when we was at another place, and the person ran into the house and said, I'll get the gun and blow your brains out. I said, I'm right here. Many times, by faith, David faced the lion. David faced the bear. David faced the giant. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The man that trusts God can face the devil today as David faced him then. Can face the situations of today. But like Brother William Branham, a great prophet of God, one time said, when the bear comes, don't be making believe. Don't be making believe, because he isn't making believe. When the devil begins to howl at you, don't be making believe, because he isn't making believe. He means business. So then, what should we do? We should stop a wishy-washy way of approaching God. We should stop that way of coming to God and just being wishy-washy and double-minded and half-hearted and half-interested. And we should come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need to claim our inheritance from God by the body of Jesus Christ. God, don't you know that it grieves God at his heart when we have some kind of sickness or some kind of problem, and we come before God and we come all half-hearted and half-believing and saying, Lord, I know you don't have to, but if you would, I sure would appreciate it. Don't you know that grieves God for us to have that kind of believing toward God? Instead of coming up there and say, Heavenly Father, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, in my behalf that I might live victorious and defeat Satan. The devil is after me and the devil's causing me trouble. But in the name of Jesus, by the spilt blood of the atonement, you promised and said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. Lord, by faith in God, I claim my promise. That atonement was for me. Have you ever told the devil that? I have. I've had him to howl down my back. I've had him to put pressure upon me and aggravate me, and maybe I'd go for hours. And then after a while, he gets so aggravating, I'd turn around to him and I'd say, devil, let me tell you something. I don't care how much evil you brought upon me. My victory in God is Christ. I am victorious. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith in God. And I am free from your clutches, and you can't do anything, Satan. He don't like for you to talk to him like that. Did you know that? You ever talk to him like that? I have. I've turned around and I said, you don't have any power over me, Satan. I'm not afraid of you. Glory to God. I'm not afraid of you. You don't have any power over me. Christ died for me. I have power over you. Get out of here. And on his way he would go. You know the Bible said, tell Satan to get behind you. How have you ever told the devil to get behind you? You know why a lot of you never have told him? Because you don't really believe he would. And you know what? He won't, because you don't believe it. Well, I believe he has to get behind me. When I tell him to get behind me, I say, get back, that's where you belong. You know the shadow in the back. I'm facing the noonday sun. You don't have any place up here. The brightness of that noonday coming will destroy you, Satan. Get in the background. You know what I say? Like the little poem, I have a little shadow that goes in and out with me. What can be the use of him is more than I can see. But nevertheless, he's back there. God put him back there for a purpose. Just let him stay back there. All right. So then I am a victor in Christ. As he is, so am I. Think about that now. See, as the Lord Jesus Christ is, so are we. What then am I? I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I have the victory that overcometh the world, even Christ. I am not a man. I'm not related to time elements. I am a son of God. I've been delivered from the darkness of this world. I've been delivered from the present evil of this world. And I am rejoicing because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice, the Bible said forevermore, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know why you don't rejoice? Is because you don't believe it. And you know, because you don't believe it, your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But mine is, because I believe it. Oh, hallelujah. God's got to jump on the devil every way he turns. You tell somebody about God and they say, I don't believe that. That's just exactly what he said. You're an unbeliever. You can't have it. Oh, hallelujah. But you tell it to a believer, and he'll say, glory to God, I believe that. Say, sure, you're my comrade. Come on, let's whip the devil. You love Jesus? Like when we were down in San Pedro Sula, there in the big city of San Pedro Sula, out in the front of Kiki's Cafe there. And the brother come along and said, had the paper hollering on the corner there, village possessed by Satan. When I heard it, I said, come on, we'll go out there and cast the devil out. That's what I said. I didn't say, come on, let's go out there and see if we can cast the devil out. I didn't say that. I didn't say, let's get together, brethren, and go on a 30-day fast and see if the Lord will help us cast the devil out. I said, come on, we'll go cast the devil out. And we went and cast the devil out. And the next publication was that Satan has left the village because we cast the devil out. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. But he wouldn't have left for you. See, I believed it, and he left for me. So I believe he left, and he did leave, and the papers carried it. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's like the other night when Brother Roger was wrestling with the devil. He was wrestling with the devil, and he was down on top of the man holding him down. And the man was just about hysterical. The devil had him. But you know, when we laid our hands on him and prayed for him, I felt the thing break. Praise God. And I said, all right, let him up. He's all right. He got up and his face dropped in his hands. He wasn't fighting and struggling, swearing or doing anything anymore. The devil had left him. He got up and said, my God, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to do that. He went on his way home. And everything was all right. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. Time shall be no longer. For who? For you and for me. Time is no longer for us. Why? Because we're not time creatures. Time ended at Calvary for me. I paid my debt to society by the body of Jesus my Lord. And today I am of those that dwell in heavenly places. I am a Christian. I am dwelling in heaven with Christ. I am hid with Christ in the heavenly places. The heavens have received you and me and such like as believe in the Lord. Don't you love Jesus? I want you to stand with me. Don't forget our work for God. Don't forget your labor in the Lord Jesus. Don't forget what we're trying to do. Realize that you're gods and not men. Realize that you're free from sin and from sickness and from death. Poverty, come boldly before the throne of grace. And let's reach out and say, Lord, it's mine. It's mine. Don't go there wondering if it's yours. If you go there wondering if it's yours, it'll never be yours. But go there saying, Lord, you said whosoever will, Jesus died for me. And I believe it. And Lord, I have the victory that he promised. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. The devil threatens me with all kind of things. But I just look back toward Calvary and I say, Satan, there ain't no need. You've come too late. Everything's going to be all right. The devil will say, how do you know it? I say, because Jesus said so.
Amen.
Ain't that good enough? Jesus said so. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are called according to His purpose. Let's invite people to come to Little Bethlehem. And let's make Little Bethlehem such a beautiful place. You know, we've had people to come here that was having nervous breakdowns. The doctor told them he was having a nervous breakdown. And did you know they stayed a few days with us and they were able to leave Little Bethlehem and go back on their jobs? Did you know that? They testified that it's absolutely the truth. Had people tormented with devils and they've come to Little Bethlehem and they've testified to me. They say, Brother Pike, I find peace and I find rest at Little Bethlehem. Isn't that what we ought to do? Isn't that what we ought to do? So then let's love the Lord. Let's pray. Let's walk upright before God. They come here and, you know, people, you get hot and sweaty and you get into a drive for God, you know, but they do that at football games. They do that at races. They holler and scream and go on at races, don't they? See, that's the world. The world's got a release. They've got a way of letting themselves go. Isn't that right? It's an easement. If the world wants to take something from you, this write up a little paper getting them an easement, you know. That's a worldly easement. But see, all we got to do is just let go in God. Just say, praise God, it's over at last. It's over. You know, look, as long as you're struggling, as long as you're pushing, as long as you're tense and as long as you're pressing, the devil is going to keep your mind filled with every kind of fear and frustration, fear of your son, death, your daughter's death, fear of disaster, fear of storm, fear of poverty, fear of losing what you got, fear of dying. And you'll keep on saying, after a while. Seeing you just stay tense. I'm going to do it after a while. But if you look back at Calvary, and you'll say, the Bible said, it is finished. Say, whew, what a load. I'm so glad. I'm so glad to get out from under that load. I'm so glad, God. You took my burdens. You took my cross. I am so glad to get free of the burden and the pressing issues of life. I am free. Hallelujah. I am free. At last, everyone that enters into his rest, they have ceased from their own work. Let's cease from our own work and let's enter into the rest of God. Can we do that? Can we do that? Let's sing a little chorus together. I say again, don't forget the things that we're trying to do for God. Don't forget them. Come and be with us. Come and pray with us. Invite somebody to come out and be partakers of your great benefits in God. If you feel that you've got a benefit, invite somebody to share. They were told when they got ready to leave Egypt, said, tonight, eat the lamb. And if it's too much for you, share it with your neighbor. Share it with your neighbor. I just got so much, I got to share it with my neighbors.
Amen.
Share it with your neighbors. Get ready for that midnight cry.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep your sandals on your feet. Keep your loins girded about with the truth. Shod with the preparation of the gospel, your staff in your hand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Stand right in the place God commanded you, because we're going over the Jordan. We're going over the Jordan. Hallelujah. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We are God's elect. We are gods that are made to rejoice and live and be exceedingly rich throughout eternity. I was telling somebody just recently, I said, isn't it a wonderful thing, you know, when you stop and think about it, to realize that you own Georgia? All of it. Lock, stock, and barrel. It's a pretty place. And then you get to thinking, he said, now wait a minute, I don't just own Georgia, but I own Germany too. You know, somebody said, now, see, there you go, being childish again. Unless you become as a little child, you won't inherit it. And then you say, hey, Lord, there's a land so beautiful, called Israel. And to think it belongs to me. Hallelujah. And that fatherest star that science has never even seen, it's mine. It's mine. All them thunderbolts that rolls across heaven, the lightning flashes across heaven, that belongs to me. All the beautiful clouds, the sun, the moon, the trees, the ocean, the beautiful gardens, all of it belongs to me. And then you think, that's wonderful. Well, then you get to thinking, that, wait a minute, I own more than that. All of heaven belongs to me. All of eternity belongs to me. Everything belongs to me. See, the Bible said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Isn't that right? What is all things? That's the moon, the stars, that's everything. Everything. You say, well, if you ever overcome, I did overcome. I did back at Calvary. I made it. I hope you did too. I overcome. You hear that song say, I'm going to overcome. I'm going to overcome. That isn't what it says. I've overcome. Can we sing that song? I've overcome. I've overcome. I've overcome. Back at Calvary. I have believed. I've overcome through Christ. You can overcome. You can overcome. You can overcome through Calvary. If in your heart you can believe, you can overcome through Calvary. You believe everything's going to be all right? Do you? Do you really believe that? Everything is going to be all right because we overcome through Jesus. We've overcome through our Christ. So everything is going to be all right. No need to fear. No need to worry. Everything is all right. You got somebody would say, well, I feel like the years are creeping up on me and that I might die anytime. I don't feel good in my body, and I feel disease is closing in on me, and the doctors talk like I'm not too healthy, and I don't feel too good. I'm afraid that I'm going to pass on, and it just worries me because I ain't got long to enjoy this breath of life and these good things around me. You don't have to think like that. You don't have to think like that. Just say, I'm all right. Jesus, you said I'm all right. Serve God and believe in God and you will be all right. Somebody say, well, what if I believe that and then I die? Well, what's the difference? You're going to die anyway. You got to die no matter what you think. Why not think good about it while you got a chance? Why not enjoy God while you got a chance? It's better to believe for your loved ones and believe for your health and trust God that something may take place if you want to look at it like that than it is just to go around and say, I'm going to die. Be cast down all the time because you think you're going to die. Somebody would say, well, dying isn't the bad part. I'm thinking about going to hell after I die. Well, you don't have to do that. Only a foolish person will do that. Why should you go to hell? Why should you perish in the flames? Change your life. Call upon the name of Jesus. Ask God to save you. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin. Receive the Holy Spirit. The gift of God is eternal life. You could bypass the grave, so you don't have to do that. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be a Christian? All right, let's sing it this way for the sake of those that's looking to a tomorrow. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. Someday, if in my heart I can believe, we'll overcome someday. Sing it with me.
We'll walk on streets of gold. We'll walk on streets of gold. We'll walk on streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll walk on streets of gold someday. Sing it again. For we will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday.